Have you ever wondered if you even need a product roadmap as a small company or a company starting out, and how big or small it should be, how to create one? Well, today's video really answers that question. I'm Victor Perolnik, the founder of TrustRing. At TrustRing, we help SaaS companies build and run productive dev teams. You do that by doing two things. Number one, we find the right resources for you. So whether that's software houses or headhunting developers for you within 4 weeks, qualified, pre-vetted, and interested candidates, guaranteed, then that is what we do. The second thing is we provide a strategic level if you need any help with accountability on your dev teams, with process, with making technical decisions. Then we have fractional CTOs and CPOs with real leadership experience in startups and scale-ups, very flexible to work for you on an hourly basis, and they can help you make the right decisions and keep people accountable. So that is what we do. Let's get back into our topic, roadmaps, right? So if you haven't watched the first two videos we made on this, you might want to start there. We'll link them up here, of course. And other than that, let's dive into this topic. So Miguel will be answering a question that we get a lot, which is, I have a very small software dev team, right? Do I really need a roadmap? Also, what happens when priorities change, right? Happens to all of us. So do we start off with this feature set, or do we want to build something else right away? Let's dive into that.
Yeah, those are two very good questions. The first one is, do I need a roadmap if I have a small team? The answer is yes, you do. Your roadmap will be smaller according to the size of the team, and maybe the things that you want to do will take longer, but you need it, and you still need it because it guides the train of thought. It allows the development team, the two developers that you have or the three developers that you have, to actually know what's coming so they can make better decisions in terms of the technology. Remember that the product team decides what is done and in what priority, but the development team, the technical team, has to decide how it is implemented, the best technologies, how to do it, what's the right way to do it. Those are things that the development team needs to do. And if they know what's coming later, it gives them very good context to actually make better decisions. So there is no such thing as small enough to not have a roadmap. And in fact, I am working with a company right now that has two developers, and we've been putting a lot of effort in creating a roadmap now, and we're about to start now in Q3. And the good thing is everyone is aligned with what's coming. So everyone is kind of looking forward to actually only work on that and not the other million things that used to happen before. So the same issues that I explained before apply to any size in a development team. The other thing that we're talking about is what happens when my priorities change. You know, I have a roadmap and now I have feedback from the users and they want something else. And the answer to that is it's absolutely fine. That's the nature of roadmaps. So in a roadmap, your current iteration, the current quarter, for example, depending how stable your development teams are and how far we can make it, but your current iteration is very, very clear. We've had a plan and we're now making the plan happen. We're just implementing that plan. The next iteration, which could be next quarter, for example, or the next semester, is almost very clear. I'm just, you know, I have my priorities already. I have an estimation on the timeline. I'm just fixing here and there, just to make sure that when I get to implement, I'm in the best shape possible. And the rest of the roadmap, as it goes into the future, is more fuzzy. And that's fine, because it becomes more showing the strategy and illustrating where the company is heading than actually having to worry about the implementation. The closer in time that we focus on the actual implementation, the better, because, you know, it will be later in time and we will know the best. We will have the most information possible. So a roadmap doesn't have the same level of detail throughout the future. This iteration is very, very clear. Next iteration is a bit less clear, but still kind of solid. And as you move into the future, they have less and less detail, and they're more subject to changes based on priorities. What is not a very good practice is to change the current iteration. So if we have said that in this quarter, for example, we would do these two new things, very, very big, important things that we have to do in a quarter, stopping one of those for new feedback is not great, because we put the team under stress. They now have to figure everything out from scratch and the clock is ticking. It will bear an impact in the future items for the next quarter. And what do we do with what we have today? But most important is it highlights a lack of planning that we were talking before in terms of the PDLC and how you get to having an idea that is refined enough that it can be implemented without issues. So it shows a lack of discipline. So roadmaps will always have new items, new things that have to be implemented and planned. As long as we protect the current iteration and we plan it for later, we're already in a better place. And the level of detail that we need for any future iterations is less and less as we move into the future. So we have a lot of flexibility. So it is one of the main complaints that you can get from a development team. We have no roadmap. We don't know what's coming up. We're lost. And it's for a developer, it is very tiring to come to the job every day and just do the tasks in isolation and leave. And then come back the next day, do another bunch of tasks in isolation and leave. And not seeing the thread, not seeing the connection that, you know, lines up all of these tasks into a bigger product, into a brighter future. That is very, very tiring for anyone, but for developers, it is very tiring. And one of the development teams that I've had, when we took that team, they had no roadmap. And that was the first thing they said, like, we have no roadmap. We don't know that you guys have no work for us. But they were still busy. It's just the perception that me being busy for the hours doing tasks without context doesn't satisfy my need. And even if they were busy every day, they kept complaining that we had no work for them because that was the case. So we had to sit down. We stabilized the team roadmap, things that they would work on in terms of the capacity planning for the next couple of weeks. So they would have things and they would know what's coming while we worked on a higher level roadmap for the rest of the year. The result of that was that team became high performant. They went from having a burn-down chart that would look like a child drew it, like up and down and everywhere. They actually went to having a burn-down chart that represented literally the guidance that you normally get in the sprint, like 1 week burning down and then weekend stores and then the rest. So it can totally be done. It must be done. Communicating the roadmap to the development teams is very important. And as I said, development teams contribute to the roadmap. They have to estimate and provide first a high-level estimation, then a more detailed estimation, so they get to know what's coming even before they get to implement it. And of course, there may be items in the roadmap that are technical. There may be technical debt. There may be platform migrations, API refactoring. There are many reasons why a roadmap would include technical items. But we need to enable that conversation as well. It's not just informing the team and what they have to implement. It's also asking and pulling of these big things that if I don't do them now, I might be in trouble in a couple of years.
Brilliant. So in the next video, we'll get into how you can start to visualize and create a roadmap very easily. So if you want to make sure to not miss it, well, just hit subscribe here on YouTube or subscribe to our newsletter where you also get the longer talks that we do that we can't publish on YouTube or materials that we'll soon start publishing like cheat sheets and checklists and things like that. So if you're interested in that, go make sure and subscribe. If you have any questions, go leave a comment or book a call or send us an email and we'll be in touch. So if you're interested in hiring developers or working with a fractional CTO, CPO like Miguel, well, let's make that happen. Thank you.